This interview is with Charles Casey Brantner, who served as a member of the Oakport Township Board from 1962 to 1965 and was elected to the Clay County Commission in 1965, took office in 1966, and has served on that Clay County Commission for 20 years and is still presently a member. This interviewer is Ray Larson, representing the Heritage Education Commission. Casey, I'll just let you give us a little of your personal background and just elaborate on that as you wish.
Well, to start with, my parents were from Iowa and Illinois, and they had homesteaded out in North Dakota in Saudi Hut in 1909, and they got burned out in the Prairie Fire. So they came to Clay County up in the Borup area, and I was born, I'm the youngest of 13 children, and we all were born at home, and things were quite different in those days, and parents were very active. My dad was very active. He was also at one time on a county commission, and he was a horse breeder and raiser of horses and a farmer and dealt in real estate. And nationality, my mother was Irish, and my dad was German and English and Dutch, so kind of a call ourselves just more or less American. And we moved up to, started in the Moorhead area in about 1946. We've lived there ever since and enjoyed it immensely. We live 5 miles out of town, and it's just close enough to town so you can be aware of everything that's going on, yet we have the peace of the country. My mother had died when I was 10 years old, so I went, stayed with different relatives, and then I went to school at the Crookston AC, which was a boarding school at that time, and graduated from there from high school in 1950. Prior to that, I went to grade school and to Borup school when the grade school closed down. Then I attended North Dakota State University for 2 years. My occupations are really quite varied. I am a farmer. I have farmed for 30-some years, raised sugar beets and small grain. I also raise Arabian horses and judge horses throughout the United States and Australia and Canada. So I've had a very varied occupation and lifestyle, and it's caused some pressures on the family, but I've enjoyed it immensely. I really like to travel and like to work with people, and that's another reason I like to be in politics.
Did you tell us what year you were born?
Oh, pardon me, 1932, October. I'm 53 years old.
And you have a family?
I have four sons.
Four sons?
I have one son that works in Arizona, and one son's an attorney in Minneapolis, and one's an architect in Dallas. The youngest boy lives with me, in fact, he's a senior at Moorhead State, and he's trying to get into graduate school in psychology. I'm a single parent.
See? You may have covered some of these questions in your personal background, but what motivated you to become involved in politics?
Well, I guess it's the fact that one of my favorite subjects in school was history. And my dad had, like I mentioned, one time was a county commissioner, and I suppose that always was in the back of your mind. You kind of grew up in a home or surroundings where we discussed and thought of politics. I know I've always felt that 80% of what you end up doing is what you've kind of been raised in those type of surroundings, unless you really pursue something different. And it was always awareness thing in our family, especially through my dad, and of what was going on as far as at those times, that's years ago, it was the starting of labor unions and co-ops as far as the farming industry was concerned. So it really was awareness thing.
Was he, did he hold office?
He held county commissioner office for one term in the late 30s.
In the
40s.
Clay County Commission?
Clay County.
Good, right. Okay. When you ran for the county commission, how did you arrive at the decision to run at that particular time?
Well, at that time, I guess when a lot of people get involved when really something happens, so you want to be involved. And of course, drainage and roads and ditches are a big item for county commissioners. And we'd had some minor drainage problems. Then plus, the person that was on the county board at that time was a man I had known and respected for years that was in our district, and he was retiring.
And who was he?
John Mansager.
I see.
And John was retiring, and so I felt if you're going to get involved, there was a chance, or a good chance to run out, even though we were young and we had things pretty well under control. The kids were getting old enough to help us on the farm.
Who was your opponent?
Well, I had five opponents at the first time in the general. Charlie Stever was one, and Elmer Katormson, and Fred Krebs, and Vince Nagoski, and I don't know, there was one other one, I think.
How was the vote? Was it a pretty good majority?
Yeah, we ended up, of course, Mr. Katormson was endorsed by the DFL at that time. He was chairman of the Democratic Party, and he and I won the primary, and then in November I won the general election, and I think that was one of the most educational experience or exciting things I've done is walking door to door and meeting the people. That's my philosophy, and that I always feel I'd rather meet 20% of the people personally than have them contacted via a letter or a flyer, all of them.
Now, your area, you represent part of the city of Moorhead too then?
Right. My area is area-wise, I represent the largest area of Moorhead. It's from the Main Avenue north, all of north, come up to 14th Street and go over two blocks down to 16th and out east to Pierce Trailer Court.
And then how far into the county?
I represent two townships, Oakport Township, which is right north of Moorhead, of course, an urban township, and Cragness Township, the adjoining township, to the north of that.
That's a population of your district might be?
Well, it's roughly, it varies, but it's right just under the 10,000 figure.
Mm-hmm. So you actually represent 10,000 people.
Right.
Okay. Who are your role models, Casey? I think you mentioned probably your dad was...
My dad was quite, and one of my brothers has passed away, Joe. He's a good guy.
How did your occupation help you? You had several occupations here that you were involved in, but how did your occupation help or hinder your involvement in politics?
Well, I think the type of occupation, the farming we did in the valley, we always had some livestock. We grew up with it, but when we got really involved in sugar beets, more or less, then we just fed to some livestock in the winter. So we weren't pressured for that, like a dairy person or somebody that's hitting the clock every 7 days a week. So it worked in quite well, and at that time the sons were old enough, they were attending school here, they could help in the summer as far as getting the crops on and off. In the winter time was more or less break time, and the closeness to town, 5 miles we lived from courthouse, six, so it's, to me it was just ideal and to be an office to hold, better than being away.
So you had plenty of time to devote to the...
Yes, you have to have time, and you have to be pretty much self-employed to really serve or have a lenient boss, or because it does take a lot of time.
You have a lot of meetings there.
It's more so every year too.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel was your was some of the lasting changes that you made in the community up to this point?
Well, of course, some of the things that the county has really been involved with is the upgrading of our road systems and some of the bridges we've built and that are ideal structures. And of course, then we as a county donated heavily to the Yemco Center and the Heritage Center and has got that started off the ground. And that's going to be a very important part, I feel, in the educational or for the young people and tourist attraction for the area that we just don't have enough to offer the people here, I feel. And we was also involved with in the Moorhead Sports Center, the hockey arena.
County contributed to that,
right,
too.
Right.
Most of the county roads are hard surface now?
No. We have 1,700 miles of roads to maintain, and we have approximately about 350 that are hard surface roads.
Is that kind of an ongoing project to hard surface?
It's budgeted, you know. We get state monies back and federal monies on certain of those roads, and it depends upon how their monies are available, and that we award bids, of course, but it's on a need basis also, and these have to be designated roads. They're roads that they're designated years in advance of what is a county and state aid road.
Okay, up to this point, on the 20 years that you've been on, what do you feel was the greatest failure or disappointment in things that happened that disappointed you during your term?
Well, I can't say that they're failures. I've had a couple of things that are, you know, been disappointed with, and I guess one is twice we've voted on an issue for a new courthouse, and we outgrew ourselves. It is a business, it's an industry, and we've had to split up. In other words, the social service department's in a separate building. It's away from it. It's just like running your own business. When you do that, you lose a real amount of efficiency. And I just felt if the people could really be aware of how bad, you know, and how much more efficient we could operate, that the vote would be different. And of course, the last time, now the farm economy is down bad, so it's a rural vote that hurt it. But that would be one of the things. And the other thing is the mandate or the problems we have always had for the last 10, 15 years have been involved, and that's a solid waste problem. And that's really an issue that we're going to have for the rest of our lives, and our children will be faced with it. And that's the mandates from Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, where you kind of change the rules after. And in all fairness, they're growing. They learn by mistake on these systems. And we just have a hard time upgrading and affording some of the requirements they place on us.
The present courthouse is about 30 years old, is it?
Right. It's a little bit over. It was built in 1954.
I'd dwell on this a bit, Casey. This election was rather soundly defeated, this bond issue was rather soundly defeated, wasn't it?
Right. Well, it was ironic because it did pass within the city of Moorhead. Mm-hmm. And they're roughly about 60% of the population, but it really was defeated soundly in the rural area. Many, many townships, it was just like 40 to nothing, or 12 to nothing, or 15 dependent voters, and I guess that does relate to the economy.
Do you think there might have been any feeling of rather hostility towards this project being in Moorhead?
No, I don't think being in Moorhead. I think, being really frank, the stigma attached to it is social services. People have a problem, you know, unless they understand the needs of people. And when you mention social service, right away they feel that there's this person getting this free handout that's a moocher or does not want to work. And really that is not true, because there may be per se, but most of the people, you know, they're pretty proud. And when they don't go up there unless they need it. And I think you're aware here at the university that there's a lot of students that go to school, and it starts them going by the help and aids they receive from the state. And we're just making better people if we can do that with them and get them back in the job workforce.
How are you proceeding now with the defeat of the bond issue? You're still going ahead with some of these projects from
right,
the fund that you have?
We absolutely. We've had about $400,000 that we had earmarked or saved for a building fund. But it's so ironic because we have to spend so much of this money because the courthouse does not even meet the standards as far as electrical and fire and et cetera and et cetera. And we got some PCBs in there and some asbestos that has to be removed in older offices. And it's a real sound looking building from the outside, but we have to really update it irregardless. And of course, then we have to go out and rent and find some other space for the offices where they're crowded.
So the result will be probably that the project will cost more then.
And yet, it's going to come close to costing more, and it's going to be piecemeal, you know. Mm-hmm. It isn't going to, like I mentioned at the start, it won't be the efficient thing you wanted.
I think you probably mentioned some of this, how the state and national problems, war, economy, finances, and so on, play in the community during your years, that some of this, the involvement of the commission in areas that were imposed upon them by the state and federal agencies.
Right. Well, I'm sure you're aware, but, you know, it's kind of like life. Every time you get something, if you get it so-called free money, there's a string attached to it. And by that, I mean, if you relate it to various social service programs, well, we'll take, just for an instance, I'll use foster homes. Where you place children, and they'll come in and say you have to have a certain type of a kitchen. You know, it can't be the same house you raised your family in. and you have to put certain sinks in and things like that, and it really takes it away from the people, and yet the cost is there. The monies are not there to do it, but the rules are there. So it raises the cost for the counties and the local taxpayer. And it's quite confusing, and then if you don't go along with those mandates, why then you don't get precipitation from the state or the federals back with their money on a cost-sharing basis.
What do you perceive as the power structure in government politics during the 20 years you've been in there? Influential people or influential sections?
You know, the Kennedy family was very popular and a strong family. And then the LBJ, and then during that time we had the, it wasn't really a war, it was a police action, they called it, the Vietnam War they went through. And I think you're all aware of some of the problems that the young people had and still have trying to recuperate from that. They're not young people anymore, that was created at the universities. But we went from quite a, in government, to me it was, you know, we went through really a heyday, no different than we did to agriculture. By heyday, I mean everything was and has been on the boom up until about 2 years ago in the community. In other words, it just wasn't, not really a woe or a holdback, because everything was going on inflation. And so really, we have as a county here are very lucky. This area has really been blessed as far as crops, and it relates to the economy because it's directly agriculture, and it really helped. We never had a problem, you know. For years to serve, we've always been a very fluid or liquid county as far as assets are concerned. We still are. But we want to keep it that way. So we've never been strifed, because we've never had the real highs and real lows that if you happen to be in a mining area. And I never felt that the power structure from the federal level affected us so much. It's starting to now. And the same with the state now, because the state is starting to cut back with some of the monies they send back to the counties. And that really affects our budgets.
Has there been someone that you've called on for advice or support during your years in office?
Well, I guess I'd have to answer that. How I go for advice is, if it's a drainage problem or an agriculture problem or a problem uptown, I pick out the person that I respect in that field and would consult them. You know, because I feel in every field that there's more or less well-qualified people. If you'll search them out. When you serve on something like being on a county board, you have such a varied amount of things that could be involved with. And I relied on a couple of the older commissioners that had been on the board when I was there, and Thornley Wells was one from here from Moorhead, and Orland Pratt from Euland, Minnesota. They were on the board when I first got on. And Con Bjerke was our executive secretary for years, and it was just a super person to rely on.
What kind of coverage did you get from the media, press, radio, and television, and did you feel that the press has been giving you good coverage, favorable coverage? Or?
I think they've been very good. You know, at times it's hard when if you're dealing with let's call it a personal problem with help, because as a county board, it's like a board of directors of a corporation, really. You know, everyone else, when the bottom line is we're responsible for what they do. And if you have somebody that really has made an error, that you really have to be frank and talk to, and with the open meeting laws, it's pretty hard to do. But yet the people in the press have been very fair about either walking out or not reporting those things and letting us iron out our issues. And I feel we've had very fair and very good coverage as a whole here.
And the press is present at all your meetings in some form.
Right. There's an open meeting law, I'm sure you're aware, of the state of Minnesota. Two elected officials cannot meet without the press being aware of it or be there.
How about community changes that you've seen during your 20 years? What are some changes that you've seen? I think you alluded to probably some of those things in an earlier question here, but what are some that you've been both happy and unhappy about?
Well, I've seen a lot more cooperation, if you want to call it, from the county and the city than when I first got on the county board. Like we mentioned, the sports arena, and then the arena north of town at the Centennial Park out there, and where they started the youth hockey program, and we used it, the combination of 4-H kids that contributed, had a 4-H arena, so they could show for the 4-H roundup in the fall. And I think there's been an awful lot, now again, I guess I credit some of that to the media and the press, plus the people on the city council more, because there's just been a way better rapport established between the two identities, because when you have a city this large in a county, it'd be awful easy to get a power structure or struggle started, and I've never had that feeling in the last few years.
Hey, how did the nature of your community involvement change over the years? I think you probably touched on this too.
Well, locally, I mean, if you mean like home activities, like for years I was a 4-H director, and pretty quick you just get spread too much thin, you can't do that. And I was a trustee on the church board and a charter member of the Dilworth Lions Club when it was formed. But pretty quick, and then that, another count for that is the fact that the county government has got busier. And if you're going to serve and do a good job, you have to get involved. And pretty quick, there's just a limit to the things that you can do, so you want to kind of specialize and stay in one field.
So you had to give up some of your previous activities. Did you assume other leadership roles in the community before? And I think you mentioned that too, 4-H and
yes,
service clubs and so on. Okay. Did your family support or discourage your involvement in community affairs, including politics?
Well, like I mentioned, as young as the 13 children, and you know, when you look at when you, that relates kind of to who you use for your roles and who do you go to. Well, I guess I respect all of my family pretty well, and they kind of keep you in line. I mean, you know, we get together, and it really helps to have a family that size, because your awareness are spread throughout the area, and plus other people. It really helps a lot to have a large family, and they supported me real well. And my own family was good, and the boys were always interested, and my sons were interested in what you're doing, and it helps a lot.
Has there been any time that you've been in politics that you had to deal with stress that came about because of certain issues or things that you had to do?
Well, that I had to deal with stress?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And are you asking how I deal
with
stress?
How do you deal with it?
Okay. How I deal with stress, and some people might laugh, but with physical work. And that's one thing about farming, you know, if you go back out and you can get on a tractor, and my sons know, you know, if you've had a tough time, just leave him alone for a while and he's going to recuperate. And I really like to ride horseback or something like that by myself and go back to the realities.
Would you like to see your children or grandchildren involved in politics?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I mentioned, I have a son that's an attorney, and, you know, anyone can complain. In life, you hear them all the time, but if you try to come up with some of the answers, or if you get involved, then I think you have a different outlook or aspect on life as a whole.
Now, everybody loves a winner, and I take it that you've never lost an election.
No, I haven't.
You've never been defeated. When you left the town board, it was to move to the county commission,
right.
And you won the primary, and then you won the general election. What are your plans as far as continuing on the commission? You see the time when you're probably going to not run, or let someone else handle it, or what?
Well, eventually, I guess. One time I was endorsed for the state senate, and I wished I would have maybe taken a shot at that, but it's so ideal to be here to try to get elected to that. But it would be hard to be defeated. You have to be honest about it. Because I know one of the saddest things, we never have had an election party, you know. Because I'll never forget that, because one of my friends that was a commissioner, I was at their place one night, and they were having a party for the election when they lost. And, you know, that's quite embarrassing or hard to handle, you know. There's just certain things to me that have to be private and handled within your family.
Do you think that you mentioned that you were asked one time to run for the Senate from this district? Do you aspire to a higher office?
I had at that time, and I don't think now. I guess I really think there's a time when it's kind of like raising a family or anything. There's a time when you you should be involved and do these things. And right now, I guess I'd say no. I'm very content the way it is.
If you could name one or two things that you feel were accomplishments, what do you feel is your greatest contribution to Clay County and making it a better place?
Well, I think goes back to the relationship for the young people as far as like the sports arena and the Yumco Center that the young people will be able to use. I think the county, and I happen to make the motion for that, that the county start putting the dollars into that. Plus, if you want to get on the real serious vein, is the work that we have done, and I've been the chairperson of that for years, and that's a solid waste committee as far as the landfill is concerned. And that's going to be something that's going to affect us one way or other and our children forever. And we really take it serious. I know a lot of people feel we don't, but it's really, you know, the danger of polluting water and things like that. And I like to feel we've had and ran one of the best landfills in the state of Minnesota. We have. It's been monitored and ran accurately. Hopefully we've done it right, but yet it's always a fear that, you know, that something's going to pollute in it. But we really tried, and I feel that that's been a very important part of my being on the county board, is that awareness. Plus, I think I really brought a touch of the rural into town, because the area I represent, being a farmer and also representing town, I think it's really established a rapport with the city council.
Are there any projects or concerns that you would like to accomplish during the time that you are going to be serving on the commission?
Well, of course, right now we're working on a new solid waste or landfill. I'd like to see that completed, and I think that's one reason when you ask or people wonder why you keep on. It's just like your own life or job. There's always something to look forward to do better. And I would still like to see us, but I guess that would be a while now, have a new courthouse in Clay County and really have an efficient operation running that everyone could be proud of.
Now, you've been involved with judging horses, and you raise Arabians, and I think you've also been active in possibly getting a racetrack in the area.
Right. I've been on a task force, and of course, we are, in my opinion, ideally located for a racetrack. We're halfway between Minneapolis and Winnipeg. And being involved with horses, there's a lot that, to cross a border, you know, that's an international border, and if you're hauling animals across there, it's quite difficult. And why I mention that is because the people I know in the horse industry would much rather run their horses in this area than to go into Canada because of the hassle at the border and exchange on monies. And it's a large investment. Again, it relates to our economy at this time. At this time, we as a county have contributed $10,000, and the city has contributed $20,000 for a feasibility study to see the feasibility of having a racetrack within this area.
Have any results of that study been made known to you at this time?
No, at the present time, they're not back yet.
In your opinion, what do you think the chances are? Do you think we'll ever have a track here?
I think we'll have a track here. But it's big and it's serious business. And again, that's an educational thing. Because, you know, this area in the summertime, the majority of the people, if they can afford it, go to the lakes. And of course, horse racing is a summertime deal. So to me, the track has to be located where you can attract the people from the lake area, Detroit Lakes, and surrounding, plus stay close enough to Fargo with the gambling they have there, and the accessibility of the four-lane roads and the airports. But I feel it would. We should be the out-metropolitan area track for the state of Minnesota, this area. Of course, they have one at Canterbury Downs and Shakopee now, which is a metropolitan area. And I really feel, in all honesty, that we are the natural setting for the second so-called track in the state.
Okay, we've touched on the feasibility of whether the population could support it. What about the moral aspects of it, and how do you see that your constituency might relate to the issue of the gambling process involved?
Well, My constituents are the people that contact me. Of course, they know I have horses. But I have never had anyone really negative about it. We've discussed it on the county level, of course, with the possibility of the increased load for the police, sheriff's department, as you mentioned, for gambling or some of the elements that might be with it. But I have all the confidence in the world that we have the capabilities of running a clean operation. That's the main thing, is how it started and how it's handled.
Would you anticipate, say, the opposition from, you know, the people that are anti-gambling interests?
Well, not really heavily, because I know that there's a lot of people that go from this area. Well, I said if you want to see a lot of people, you go to Winnipeg or to Canterbury, pardon me, to Assiniboine Downs or Winnipeg, or you go to Minneapolis to Canterbury now. And there's just a lot of people here that they do like the aspect of gambling.
Do you think that this committee would support it?
I really do.
Is that something that would that ever come to a vote of the people? I mean, the county, would they have to vote on it, say, as a county?
No, the only one of the things, of course, the county would be faced with where you would hold hearings, and that would be as far as zoning ordinances. And, of course, there you may run into opposition where they would locate a track and somebody didn't want it, or the noise, or parking problems, or police problems, or whatever you might have contend with. But, you know, when you think of a track, there's so much more to it than just a track. It's the people that would be employed with the track, like the veterinarians and the feed business and gasoline and fuel. It's just a lot of jobs to
the
absolutely.
Area.
We could visualize, I'd hate to put a number on the jobs, but it would be a very big boost for employment in this area.
Okay. Well, is there anything that you'd like to leave on the tape, Casey, for use of any, add to anything that you've said, or?
Well, no, except I guess I've always looked at being on a county board as it's been kind of like a privilege or an educational thing, because, you know, it's really, to me, it's been invaluable, because I really like people and I like to travel, and it's a real good combination of both. Not that we travel so much, but I think it's very educational, and that's like when you ask if I would recommend any of my family or my children or whatever to get involved in politics. Absolutely, yes, I am. Of course, I guess I look at it so different. I don't even consider myself a politician. I don't know why. In the 20 years I've been on, I've never had 10 phone calls in my life. So if I get one, I weigh it very seriously, you know, because to me I use that as a poll or information of what the public's thinking. And that's why when you ask about who do you use as roles or where do you go for advice, well, if I ever get a phone call or have a problem, I know the people that I feel that are qualified in that field to call and talk to, and they'll level with you. That's what it takes.
Not a lot of party politics on the county commission.
Absolutely. We've tried to keep that out. And, of course, they've tried different times in the legislature to have you labeled as a Democrat or run partisan. And I have to relate, the first year I ran for county board, I was going door to door in North Moorhead, and I came to this lady's house. And I give her my card, and she said, "Well, what party are you?" And I said, "Well, it's a non-partisan office." And, well, she said, "You got to belong to a party." And I said, "Well, okay, I'm a Republican." And she said, "Well, I'll have to give you your card back." And I said, "Well, why'd you do that?" And she said, "Well, I'm a Democrat." And I said, "Well, what's that got to do with it?" And I said, "I have 11 sisters and brothers, and we're about half and half, and I'm a Lutheran, and I have two sisters that are married to Catholics." And I said, "We still get together at Christmas and talk to each other." And she said, "You know, when you give me my card back, she said, "My son's even a Republican." And she's a cute lady, and it ended up her son and I were good friends. So,
okay, well, thank you, Casey, for your involvement in this.
Well, thank you.